As they went, they were made clean. And also, thy faith hath made thee whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is a very interesting scene in today's Gospel. Much to be unpacked in a small passage, and much to be learned from such a small aspect. Our Lord finds himself traveling. He's going up for one of the great festivals to Jerusalem, and on the way, he is passing by towns and throughout the various areas of Galilee and Samaria, and he comes across, at a certain point, 10 lepers, one of which is a Samaritan. The lepers, they are afar off. They're not permitted by the law to enter, to have anything to do with society any longer. They are meant to be, they are not allowed to be within the walls of the town. They are not allowed to enter into the temple. They are not allowed to approach or interact really with the people, because there is this fear that in doing so, they being unclean, diseased, that they would be able to confer that disease upon others and infect others in society. And so they are cast out quite coldly into the wilderness and left to wander on their own until ultimately they die. And so these 10 lepers, it is an interesting bunch, because there's 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. Normally, these Samaritans and the Jews typically did not interact with each other. They viewed the Jews oftentimes viewed the Samaritans as sort of these outcasts, these non-chosen people who had different aspects of faith and whatnot. But these 10 had one thing in common that bound them together, and that was actually their leprosy. The 10 call out to our Lord. They don't come closer. They know that they can't. But they approach in a vocal way. They come to him because they are turning to him for healing. And they have heard about him. They've heard people talking about the preachings that Christ has given. They've heard whisperings of the miracles that have been witnessed. And they, in seeing our Lord and the caravan of people following after them, they recognize this is their opportunity. This man, he is one who is from God, and he has extraordinary ability from God. And so, therefore, they call out and make an act of faith, begging of him to have mercy. Now, what is remarkable is the contrast. What follows along with our Lord, there are the 12 apostles, the 72 disciples, and a large crowd of people, including amongst them Pharisees. These 10 lepers, they have never witnessed the workings of our Lord personally, but they make an act of faith that he is capable of assisting them. In the meantime, those who stand about him are ones who have witnessed just prior to this his miraculous casting out of the devil of one who is dumb and who is made able to speak again. And in seeing it with their eyes, the Pharisees have accused our Lord of casting out devils by the power of the devil. Witnessing, they haven't believed. They remain steadfast in their unbelief. But the 10, they make this act of faith. And so they are treated, greeted by our Lord, and he takes pity on them. Christ, for his part, he knows that this is a perfect opportunity to convey an important lesson for all to witness. First and foremost is the one that is obvious, that of the faith of these men, to look upon them and to see their salvation, and for Christ to heal them of a leprosy which was representative of sin, to also be able to convey that healing from the affliction of the evil that decays the soul. And secondarily, because it was an opportunity for them to see and witness what is issued forth in that way of cleansing is akin to that of forgiveness. Not only that it represents sin to be forgiven of the affliction to the soul, but also that in the context of what has just transpired, this journey to Jerusalem they have just witnessed Christ being treated poorly time and again. The Pharisees, they have called him one who conjures the devil to deliver devils. And moreover, moving through Samaria, one of the Samaritan towns greeted him so rudely that they would not let him enter in. They cast him away, and they shunned Christ. And in doing so, we don't have the details, but we know that it was such a stark reality that James and John asked our Lord if he would prefer to call down fire from heaven upon them so that they may all be consumed. Truly, it is an understanding that such treatment was blasphemous and offensive. But Christ shows that there is no place for holding on to a grudge. If it is sins that he can forgive, then simple offenses likewise need to be relinquished quickly. And all of this is contained in that representation of the Samaritan who is there amongst them, ready to be cleansed of his ailment. Our Lord, however, doesn't heal them on the spot. Instead, he commands them to go and present themselves to the priest. It is not in this command that they are made clean. They walk away, they are still lepers. All of the external signs of their affliction are on the blemishes upon their skin, the pain and difficulties they have in movement. All of this is there. No change transpires. But the men, for their part, all 10 of them, immediately, without question, without inquiry, they turn and leave. They begin their procession on their way to present themselves to the priest. This is important. Christ defers to the priest. But these men understand, in going, there is nothing to be found from those priests of the temple that can heal their affliction. It is the position of the priest at the temple to recognize leprosy and to diagnose it so that the person can be removed so that the rot does not spread to other people. It is also the position of the priest at the temple to recognize when the healing has truly transpired and to investigate it so that one could be readmitted into society. And yet, no power to actually heal leprosy was possessed by them. The men know this, but they turn and go because Christ has told them to do so. And our Lord, for his part, refers them to the priest because he knows the audience that witnesses him. If these Pharisees perceive him to heal and to readmit them into society without having them go through the proper channels, they would use this as a means to cause others to doubt who he really is, that he is the Messiah, because they would accuse him of foregoing the laws and circumventing the ways that have been laid down for them to follow in the ways of the temple. Instead, Christ uses these laws in order to elicit the understanding and belief of those who witness. And so, the men leave, and on the way, as they have journeyed, they have departed from the sight of our Lord, and they are well on their way to the tent to make their way to the priests. Then they realize that they are healed. Then all of their afflictions fall away. 9 of them continue onward. You can imagine the elation at this realization. so long they have spent traveling in the outskirts of society, suffering with no support from others around them, and left to die on their own. 9 of them cannot wait to go and stand before the priest and finally be readmitted and be allowed to reclaim their place in the temple and in society. It is the Samaritan alone who turns around first and comes back to give thanksgiving to our Lord. He stops, he falls down, he humbles himself, and he makes it known that he recognizes exactly what has happened. And so our Lord praises him for his faith and tells him that he is made whole. Because first, he has praised God for the good that has been worked. It is a short gospel lesson, but it contains many things to reflect upon. I will just take two as a focus point for today. First is the more obvious, the connection to the sacrament of penance, that is, in the healing of the leper. However, I'm going to sort of extend that out to not just be that point of focus on confession, but of all of the sacraments and the other means of grace as well that come to us, our prayers, our sacrifices, the various workings of virtue, etc. Because we know what transpires in our souls by participating in these things. By our faith, we understand that when we confess our sins, those sins are truly forgiven from us. We also understand that graces from that sacrament are given so that future strength against temptation is possessed by us. We recognize that when we receive a worthy Holy Communion, it is not merely a participation in the sacrifice that is, takes place, but it is also a true means of increasing grace in our souls and to help us to love, to grow in sanctity and perfection. It is an act of true love of God because it is the showing of the desire and then the working of unifying ourselves with Him. That this unity of Christ is not just possessed there at the rail, but that it is one that is possessed in our souls, leaving forth when we go from church. We know that our daily prayers are not just words that are said, but rather that they are means on a daily basis to grow in virtue. Each of these is an important aspect of our lives. It is, each and every one of them, much like the lepers, the lifting up of our voices to call and petition for mercy from the Lord. But like the lepers, we recognize in each action that we make the action and the effects, they're not immediately realized. We confess our sins and we don't all of a sudden feel ourselves made clean. We can't see our souls sparkling and white again. We do not see the grace pouring down from heaven and falling upon us. We don't recognize the growth in our spiritual strength as we obtain the things necessary for the next combat that lay in wait for us. Instead, we are made to do the same thing as those lepers, to continue on down the pathway, to keep moving towards where our Lord has directed us, to come again and again to the same action, more holy communions, more good confessions, more daily prayers and sacrifices offered. And only when we have progressed much further on down the way can we look back and then realize the effects that have taken place upon our souls. And secondarily, it is the reflection of the importance of the regular giving thanks to Almighty God for this reality. that is possessed in each and every singular action that we partake of. After each confession, we mustn't just leave and perform our penance and be done with it. Yes, that fulfills what is required, but think about what has actually transpired. And are we not grateful that God has cleansed us of the burden that has weighed upon our souls? Think of every Mass that we attend, witnessing Calvary before our own eyes, seeing the Incarnation, and every Holy Communion that we receive, in which we are chosen to be made Christ bearers ourselves. Is it for us to just simply depart afterwards? There are three ends of prayer: petition, adoration, and thanksgiving. And I would say that thanksgiving is the one that is most often forgotten. Because so often our human nature, our frailty, we fail to be able to adequately reflect upon the realities of what takes place in our daily lives, what actually each communion is, what actually each good confession is, and just what the effect can be from our prayers. But it is thanksgiving that is truly due to our Lord. We remember to make acts of love as we watch Him raised upon high upon the altar at Mass or see Him in the monstrance. We certainly turn to Him when we find ourselves in need and petition. But how often do we thank Him? And what is that but a hindrance to our own progression and sanctity? St. Bernard says, "It is the enemy of our souls, the inanition of our merits, the disperser of our virtues. Ingratitude is a burning wind, drying up the fountain of holiness." That is a perfect reflection for every one of us. Because when we look again to this gospel for the day today, we have to see ourselves in the image of those ten and ask ourselves honestly, where do we actually fall? Who are we in that story? We feel the pressure to go, but what pressing thing in the world is so important that we must sprint from the halls of grace and cannot spare a few moments to thank God for the sacrifice that we have witnessed upon the altar, for the incredible grace of being made like the Blessed Virgin Mary to carry Christ within us? We have to question ourselves and see, are we really too harried to add a couple of prayers to thank God for having sins removed, our leprosy healed? Do we think ourselves deserving of graces that we have received, of the spiritual growth that we have made, or of our own sanctity? We wish to be made whole, wholly cleansed, wholly strengthened, and wholly sanctified. Our faith in the workings of prayer and the sacraments of the Church, this is exactly how we are made to be so. But we must remember that if it is to be truly whole that we want to have ourselves to be, we must give thanks likewise to the one who has made it so. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.